As I was reading in John 15 this week, I stumbled across this verse 13, that I want to invite you to notice with me. It just seemed perfect for this moment this morning, doesn't it? Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And that's really what we're here at the table to celebrate, isn't it? That Jesus laid down his life to deliver us, to rescue us, in just the most important way to rescue us from sin. And in doing so, provided the greatest demonstration of love ever. Greater love has no one than this. It is one of these passages in the Bible that is easy to pull from its context and slap it on a magnet and stick it on the fridge, right? It's one of those slogan verses that often we read without appreciating that it sits in a context. And that's the thing that I would like for you to consider with me this morning. Something was going on that prompted Jesus to say these words. And so if you'll turn to John 15, I want to begin in verse 9 and just grab a little of the context around these words. In verse 9, he says, "Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that one laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for slaves do not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another." I want to ask you to notice two words that are used repeatedly in this little segment. The first is the word commandment. Did you notice that? He says that again and again. In fact, he uses it in different ways. He says that he has kept the Father's commandments in verse 10. And then he tells the disciples that they should keep his commandments also in verse 10. And so there is this emphasis in this little segment on keeping commandments, but I don't think generically. He's going somewhere with that. Notice that his emphasis is this: love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another. That's what he's concerned with. Which brings us to the second word I want you to notice, and that's the word love. 9 times in this short segment, Jesus mentions love. Do you think he wanted us to think about that? He mentions the Father's love for him and his love for his disciples. But again, I think he's going somewhere with that. He especially emphasizes, and in fact, this is where the two words tie together. He emphasizes his commandment that they love each other. And if we could broaden the context even more, then this would become a sermon. We understand why he's saying that. The disciples needed to hear that from Jesus. They struggled with this throughout Jesus' time with them. They had engaged in these petty battles over position and prominence, arguing about who was the greatest among them, demonstrating their fundamental misunderstanding of what the kingdom was all about in the first place. In fact, think about this. This very night as the great sacrifice is about to be made, we're hours from the cross. This very night, they'd been arguing with each other about this petty thing. That may account for the demonstration from John 13. Do you remember Jeff and I talking about that last Sunday night? When God girds up a towel and kneels and washes the feet of his disciples. Do you remember what Jesus said about that? When he's finished, he said, "I gave you an example so that you would do for each other what I've done for you." In fact, in both of these cases, Jesus uses himself as an example. After washing feet, you do as I did. And then here again, as he's talking about love, you love just as I have loved you. He's the trailblazer. He's paving the way for them to follow. And yet the ultimate demonstration is coming, right? He anticipates it. In verse 13, the greatest example of love, the one who lays down his life for his friends. As I ponder this, it occurs to me that the meal we are about to share together does not simply remind us of Jesus' love for us that he demonstrated when he died on the cross. It's an example that Jesus left for us to follow. An example of how we are to love. In a sense, this memorial becomes a weekly reminder, not just of the cross and what it says about the love of God for me and you, but a weekly reminder to follow the example of Jesus and to love like he loved. Can I be real plain about that so we don't miss it? It should be insanely difficult to come to this table bearing a bitter grudge against your brother. Or to go away from this table indifferent and ambivalent about some brother or sister in this family that I have an unpleasant history with. If I'm doing that, I've unplugged from what this memorial was meant to do. To remind us of the love of Jesus. So that I can then go and love others. So, as we eat and drink this morning, let's first remember the love Jesus manifested towards us at Calvary. And second, go away this morning determined to love as he loved.